Morning, we're talking about our spiritual journey as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we started a series of messages a few weeks ago. I want you to open to the Gospel of Luke, if you would, please, and I want you to find two openings, Luke chapter 4, and hold that, and then look at Luke chapter 13. And I'll read a passage from Luke 13 to get us started here today. And we'll look at all these things. I've got so much information in my notes and ideas and stories rolling around in my head right now. And I just hope I can get this done before kickoff. I really do. We've been looking for a couple of weeks now. We've been looking at Jesus. We found out that the scripture teaches us that even though we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that the more we know the Lord, the more we come to understand what His death, burial, and resurrection means to us personally and practically on a day-to-day basis. And we talk all, and it's good that we do, that we understand that what Jesus did for us at Calvary's cross saves us forever. And that's awesome. But we like to share with you continually to remind you that your new life in Christ doesn't begin when they lay your carcass in the ground. It begins the moment you receive Christ into your heart. And God has a life for us, and He has a purpose for us. You get that. You know that we're not just here in this earth to fill up space and bide our time until we go home to be with God. That God has a purpose for us in the here and now, and a work that He wants to do in us now and through us as well, that others might know Him. So the Bible tells us that the more we look at Jesus, the more we see Jesus, the more we will become like Jesus, and the more we will experience of Jesus. Paul told us that in the prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, church, I want you to know Jesus more and more. And I want you to understand what it means to be a Christian. And I want you to understand the promises of God that belong to you. And I want you to know and realize and experience the power of God that is ever moving toward you to bless your life and to change your life and to fill your life with the fullness of the presence of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we find over there that Peter himself says that grace is multiplied. Grace and truth are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that means that we experience more and more of the grace of God the more that we know who Jesus is. So we started this series a few weeks ago to look at the Gospels to see the person of Jesus Christ. And we've seen the compassionate Christ and the caring Christ. And we've seen the giving Christ and the serving Christ. This morning, the message to you this morning is this, that we're going to look this morning at the delivering Christ. Christ the deliverer. And here's what we want you to see. We want you to see the power of God to set you free from whatever work of darkness the enemy is bringing against you. Whatever bad habits you may have, whatever bad attitudes you may have, whatever addictions you may have, whatever struggles you may have in life, you have a hard time overcoming those things. They seem to just keep popping up, and you don't seem to be able to get victory. I'm sharing with you today a message about the power of Christ to set you free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God wants us to be in victory. He wants us to be free from all of these struggles and difficulties and problems in life. So I want to look at a couple of passages of scripture. Now, I want you to promise me something over the course of the next half an hour or so, okay? Promise me this. You won't freak out. Okay? Because here's what we're going to be talking about this morning, guys. We're going to be talking about the devil and demons and their reality, how they torment, and how we can be free. Some of you already wished you could get out of here. I promise you, this is going to make sense to you, and it's going to encourage you and bless you before this day is done. Because you're going to realize something, brother and sister. You're going to realize that through Jesus Christ, you have no reason whatsoever to fear the powers of darkness. to be afraid of the devil or demons or any of those kind of things. Are they real? Yeah, they're real. Do you need to be afraid of them? No, you don't need to be afraid of them. Well, I'll give you two reasons. We're going to see, I'm going to allude to a scripture in a little while that tells us that demons are essentially angels that fell with Satan and his rebellion against God years ago. The Bible says a third of the angels fell with him. That means one third of the angels became what we believe today are the demon spirits that roam the earth. But here's the thing, only a third of them fell. Brothers and sisters, that means two-thirds of them are still there, actively involved. As the scripture says in Hebrews, the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. Brother and sister, we got them outnumbered 2-1 already. Okay? All right? Not only that, John tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he who is in you. That's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, Christ in you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So, we don't need to be afraid of these things, but we do need to be aware of these things. Because see, we live in a day and time. I didn't read the scripture, did I? Nope. Let me finish this thought. We live in a day and time where we are too sophisticated, too civilized, and too intelligent to believe in myths and superstitions and silly nonsense like the devil and demons. You know what I believe? I believe that that mentality, that the devil and demons is just mythology and superstition, I believe with all my heart that that mentality is actually itself a master stroke of the devil. Amen. To convince us he doesn't exist. Because how can you defeat an enemy that you don't even know or believe exists? See? So we wind up doing all kinds of things. And let me just, because I don't want you to freak out, right? Here's the thing. Here's the reality. The truth is, we don't give very much thought to the spirit world in general on a day-to-day basis. I'm talking about God, okay? Forget about the demons and the devil for now. Let's talk about God. Most of us don't acknowledge him day-to-day, or most of us are not aware of what he's doing in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Let alone the devil and demons. My point is, this idea out of sight, out of mind, it's both where God is concerned and where the devil is concerned. Both are real. Both are at work. Okay? God is working for us, and I think sometimes we make God work overtime. Because we won't acknowledge the one who is trying to destroy our lives. And as a result, and I'm going to share testimony with you in a little while, we don't take up the weapons that God has given to us to walk in and experience the victory of Calvary over the demons that come against us. Let me share some things with you. Let's look at the scripture first of all, okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 8 years had had a sickness, watch this, caused by a spirit. I want to talk about that in just a little while, but let me just say one more thing before I go any further. Let's be sure that we've got some balance where this thing is concerned, okay? Because there typically is two extremes when you bring up demons, okay? On the one hand, there are people that don't believe they exist. And on the other hand, they believe everything's a demon. And there's a demon under every rock. And anything that happens, it's demons. Demon. Now listen, we got to find some balance here, okay? We got to understand some truth here and recognize it. I will say this, though. And again, I can relate this to God, too. I think there are more things going on in our lives from both sides of the spiritual perspective, light and darkness, more things going on in our lives than we really are aware of or really give credit to, okay? So just want to bring some balance and level out this thing, but I want us to understand, because the scripture teaches us clearly that the devil and demons and evil spirits and unclean spirits and all of these things are real. If you choose to believe the Bible like I do, I choose to believe the Bible is the Word of God. And if you choose to believe the Bible is the Word of God, you really have no choice but to believe the devils are real, see. Either that or you got to toss them out. Toss out those verses. And you know what, brother and sister? When you start tossing out verses of the Bible, you might just as well toss the whole Bible out. Because where does it end? Well, there's a message right there. I mean, isn't that what our society generally has done? Well, we don't believe in this part of the Bible. We'll throw that. Well, we don't believe in that part of the Bible. And we've pretty much eliminated the Bible from our society, particularly in the United States. But that's another message for another day. Let me try to finish this passage. There was a woman, verse 11, who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. She was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed." Freed, brother and sister, Jesus wants you free. "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. This woman had been sick for 18 years. Jesus heals her, made the religious people mad. Because he did it on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day, thus saith our law. And Jesus, you've healed, you've done work, therefore you've broken our law, and we don't like you anymore. And that's the way they treated the Son of God who healed a woman who had been sick for 18 years. All they could think about was their law was broken. They couldn't see a woman has been made well. Her suffering is over. Jesus has set her free. Awesome. Let me keep reading verse 14. The synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. So come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is." Now that phrase is significant, brother and sister. I want you to understand why. She is a daughter of Abraham. That means, friends, that means that this is a woman who has a covenant with God. God has made promise to Abraham. God has made promises to all of Abraham's family, his descendants, all of his line. And she is a daughter of Abraham, an heir to these promises of liberation, of freedom, of victory, of healing, of all of these things. She's a daughter of Abraham, and he goes on to say, this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? She has a right to her healing. She's come for her healing, and I've given her what God wants her to have. And brothers and sisters, I don't have time to develop this today, but listen, the Bible tells us that if we believe in Jesus, then we are heirs of God, and we are the seed. Listen, we are the seed of Abraham. Spiritually, sons and daughters of Abraham. That means we have covenant right. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 that where the promises of God are concerned, they are yes and amen to all who are in Christ. In other words, all of God's promises belong to those who are the true children of God. Look with me over at Luke chapter 4. I ask you to turn over there. This is another Sabbath day. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. There's a man, verse 33, possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Let me just say something about demon possession, okay? The Bible talks about demon possession, and usually the examples that we read about in the Bible concerning demon possession are the weird, bizarre acting, most outlandish, crazy kind of behaviors and all of these kinds of things. Demons make people do weird and bizarre things, convulsions and throwing them into fire, throwing them into water and all of these kind of things, cutting themselves, all of these kinds of things. We see all of these kind of things in the context of demon possession. But I want you to hear this today. The word possession really simply means under the control of, under the authority of. We might think of it a little easier as the word demonized. In other words, influenced by the devil. Okay? Because we want you to understand that when we talk, we should never draw the conclusion that just because a guy is not having a convulsion, that doesn't mean there's no demonic activity going on in his life. Does that make sense to you today? Does that make sense? Just because you can't see convulsions, cuttings, ragings, all of these kind of things, that doesn't mean there's no demonic activity. I guarantee you, every one of us, probably every day of our journey, encounter demonic activity somewhere along the way. Just in the very simple temptations that come before us and tempt our flesh, the things that tempt us not to believe in God. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter that says the mind, when people do not believe in Jesus, it's because the minds of the unbelieving have been blocked by the god of this world. That's the devil. In other words, just when a person doesn't believe, it means they're under the influence of the spirit of darkness, you see. So it doesn't have to be, to have a spirit involvement with demonic power doesn't mean you're convulsing and quaking and vomiting and all this kind of weird and bizarre stuff. The enemy's very real, and he tempts and tests and tries us every day. But Jesus wants us to be free. Jesus wants us to have victory. Look at this one. The synagogue, there's a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Here's a man in rage, okay? He's just enraged that Jesus is there. He's got demons in him, and he is enraged. And this is one of those extreme manifestations of demonic activity in his life. Let us alone, verse 34. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, what is this message? For what authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report of him spread in every locality in the surrounding district. Now Jesus moves on from here. Remember, this is a Sabbath day. Okay? Verse 38, Jesus got up and left the synagogue. He entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. Verse 40, while the sun was setting, all those who had any, who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, you are the Son of God, but rebuking them. He would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. There are dozens and dozens of scripture just in the Gospels alone that teach us about demonic activity and demonic influence over the lives of people. And every time Jesus encountered those people, Jesus every time set them free. My message to you, Jesus wants you free today. Jesus wants us free. I've got a whole thing here about, Lord, where'd I go? I think I'm going to skip this whole section. I was going to give you just a real brief history of where we believe demons come from and all of that kind of thing. But I'm just going to jump right over that and just let you assume that information. Let me assume that of you today just for the sake of this message, because I didn't want this to turn into a you know, a message. If we were to talk about demonology and on all these things, spiritual warfare, we could take 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks, whatever, to talk about all this. What I want to focus on is the fact that even though these things are real, and even though they do come against us, and they oppress us, and they attack us, that Jesus is greater than whatever demon would come our way, and Jesus Christ wants us free. It's why Peter tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 5, turn over there with me real quick. Let's look at some scripture together. First Peter 5. Are demons real? Yeah. Do we need to be afraid? No. We need to recognize them. We need to understand them. And we don't need to be arrogant about it. Arrogance, listen, arrogance is one of the open doors to demonic activity in your life. Pride is one of the things that lets demonic spirits into your life, you see. So, we have to guard our heart where pride is concerned. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Peter tells us there that the devil is real, that the devil is... Look, I want you to notice this part of the scripture. The devil, it says there, prowls about, verse 8, seeking someone he might devour. That means he can't just devour anybody at any time. He has to find an opportunity into our lives. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. Don't leave an open door for the devil. What's an open door? Any kind of selfishness, any kind of sin, any kind of pride, any kind of darkness or willingness to yield to the flesh. All of these things are potential open doors for the enemy. Whether it's rebellion, unbelief, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all of these things can be open doors to the powers of darkness so that he can come in and tempt us and try us. And we have to realize that the enemy is real and he will come through the door if we leave it open for him. And we've got to learn to shut these doors and prevent the enemy from coming into our lives. Resist him, it says, verse 9, firm in your faith. I'm going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. You and I have a responsibility. I want to tell you about a time in my life when I pleaded with God, when I had demonic oppression going on in my brain. It was like a claw in my brain that I could not get out. And I pleaded with God to take it out, to take it out, to please take it out. And God didn't take it out. And when the story was all over and I was finally free and I asked the Lord, God, why didn't you do that? And God says this. God said, I gave you spiritual weapons. I gave you spiritual authority. I gave you the word and commanded you to wield it like a sword. I gave you the power of the Holy Spirit, and I expected you to use the weapons that I had given you to walk in the victory that Jesus had won for you. See, brother and sister, we have a responsibility. I share with you so many times, our Christian journey is not, well, you know, whatever. Que sera, sera. That's not how Christianity works. And that's not how we experience the power of God in our lives. We have to purpose to follow Christ. We have to purpose to feed our heart on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're not feeding our heart on the Word of God, we're not growing strong in faith. The Word of God is spiritual food. Food for our spiritual man. That's why Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to be fed naturally, but we need to be fed continually spiritually so that we're growing strong in that realm as well. And then we have to do, listen, James and Jesus both tell us that the one who is blessed in this life is not the person who merely hears the word. I'm going to say it again. You are not blessed of God just because you're here this morning hearing the Word of God. If you don't take what you hear and apply it to your life, you will miss the blessing God has for you. You can hear about victory all you want to, but until you get into the ring and fight the fight of faith, you'll never experience victory. You'll just know the illusion of it. You'll know the promise of it. And when you get your teeth knocked out, you'll wonder where it went. And God says, take up the sword of the Spirit and use the weapons that I've given you and walk by faith and not by sight and speak the word of God and declare the promises of the Lord and all of these things. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, look at this real quickly. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil has schemes and plans and plots and ideas for destruction where your life and my life is concerned. And don't get me wrong, the devil is not omniscient the way God is. But you know what? When he puts a temptation in front of you and you fall for it, he's learned something about you. And he's learned a weakness in your life. And he knows where he can attack your life. And he knows where he can get you to stumble. And this is how he works. And it's why we need to put on the full armor of God. For our struggle, he says in verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. To stand firm. He has given us the weapons that we need to stand firm against the powers of darkness. But please note, verse 13, take up. That's personal responsibility, brother and sister. He didn't say, just stand there and I'll throw it at you. He said, take it up. Take it up. We have to take it up ourselves. And we have to use the weapons that God has given to us. And there are many, many examples in the scripture of Jesus getting victory over demonic spirits. Look back over at the Gospel of Mark. We've alluded to this one several different times. Mark chapter 5. I may not get any further than this one. This story always blesses me when I see it in its context. When I see Jesus on one side of a lake and he ministers to people, I'm in the first verse, and he ministers to people on that side of the lake. And then he gets in the boat and he goes all the way across the lake to get to the other side. This lake is about 4 or 5 miles across. He goes all the way across the lake to get to the other side of the lake just to minister to one person and set him free. And then gets back in the boat and goes back to the other side. All of that way for one person. It's because he loves the one. It's because he loves us. Verse 1, Mark chapter 5, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Another one of these bizarre manifestations of demonic oppression and possession in this man's life. Verse 6, Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Well, verses 8 through the next several verses talk about the deliverance, the actual deliverance of this man as Jesus commands the demons to come out, and a legion of demons come out and they depart and the man is healed. And this is what I want to get to in verse 15. The crowd that was there, they witnessed it. They saw it all. They went running into the town. They said, "You can't believe what we just saw. You need to come see what Jesus has done." The people come to Jesus, verse 15, and they observe the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. He is completely set free from the torment of demonic authority and power in his life. Jesus has set him free. Guys, the point is this: there is no power. There is no authority. There is no work of darkness in all the world that's greater than the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants to set us free and give us real victory in our lives. And all of these things, and again, understand that the idea of demonic possession simply means under the influence of demonic spirits. And it doesn't necessarily mean every time somebody has a demon, it means they're going to manifest some weird and bizarre behavior. It may simply be the temptation of the enemy in our life, or the blindness of the enemy against our life to keep us from seeing the truth. These two are forms of demonic control and influence over our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible tells us, I'm not going to read it, it tells us there that we are to take up the spiritual weapons that we've been given, for the weapons of our warfare, Paul tells us there, are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down, listen to me now, for the pulling down of strongholds and the destruction of vain imagination. I want to tell you today that sometimes the demonic influence that we are under is an influence that's going on between our ears, in our minds, in the area of demonic strongholds, in the thought life, and the vain imaginations or fantasy life that you and I live on a day-to-day basis. If there are things and thoughts that run through your mind and you can't seem to clear your mind of those things, is there a possibility that there's some demonic influence going on there? Is it possible that the enemy is the one who is tormenting your mind in that way or in that fashion? Let me just give you some other thoughts and just throw it out there. I'm not saying that people who exhibit these things necessarily are demonized. I'm just saying, is there a possibility people who are delusional are in fact being influenced by demonic spirits? What about people who are pathological liars? Is it possible that those people are just tormented by demons and under the influence of demonic spirits? I don't have time for that. There's so many things going on in my little head right now, and I just need to shut some of those things off. So many things can actually be demonic influence in our life. What about persistent bad habits that you can't seem to break? And you try real hard, but you just keep doing them. Is it possible that what we're dealing with is something beyond the natural, something spiritual going on there, some kind of demonic influence? What about bad attitudes? What about bad attitudes? We just cop attitudes all the time. What about fear? What about being afraid of everything? Constantly being afraid. The Bible actually calls fear a spirit. Paul says to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound and disciplined mind. So if we're just always fearful, how about a person who's just always negative? You know anybody like that? Just everything. You look on the bad side of everything. I mean, if they won $1 million in a lottery, they'd find an excuse to see it. It's something wrong. It's something bad that's going on in their life. Just everything negative, everything bad. Is it possible? Maybe there's some demonic influence going on there. What about addictions? What about drugs, alcohol, tobacco, sex, pornography, food? Is it possible that these things could be demonic influences? It's why when we know they're wrong, we want to be free. We try to get away. And yet something keeps drawing us back in. And we can't get free. Is it possible that we're looking at something otherworldly? Something from the spiritual dimension that's keeping us that way? What about somebody that's accident prone? You know anybody that stuff just happens all the time? I had a brother, God rest his soul. He was always hurting something, breaking something. When he was a child, when about 10, 12 years old, he had appendicitis. Had to have emergency surgery. In his teen years, he was forever breaking fingers and bones in his arms and his hands. Just playing basketball, things would break. He went away to school to Blacksburg. And twice in 4 years, he broke his jaw. How do you break your jaw? He broke his jaw. When he was about 28, 29 years old, he started having seizures. He would just black out. He told me one day, he said he realized something was wrong. He was a pastor of a little church. He was in a business meeting of the church. He said they'd been discussing the business of the church. And all of a sudden, he woke up, he came to, and he was playing with chalk dust on the chalkboard. And he didn't know how he got there, what he was doing there, or why he was doing it. He knew something was wrong. He was first diagnosed with epilepsy. It wasn't long after that they discovered he had tumors on his brain. And he had surgery a couple of different times and chemo and radiation for 5 years. And they couldn't do anything about it. And he passed away, 35 years old. Is it possible that there's something demonic that's going on in this world, that's maybe going on in our lives, we don't recognize it because we're not aware of the spiritual realm or knowledgeable enough about it to understand how it influences this natural world? I've got so many scriptures. Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 17, Mark chapter 16, verse after verse, passage after passage, where the writers of the gospel tell us that we have authority over principalities and powers and demonic spiritual forces. And we need not fear them, but we must be aware of them and we must know how to battle them in order to defeat them and to keep them from destroying our lives. Jesus wants us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, if you will continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But listen, brother and sister, we have to do more than just hear the word. We've got to take the word as the spiritual sword God intended it to be, and we've got to use it against the spirits of darkness. Because how many of you understand today that authority not exercised is useless? is useless. So what if you have authority if you're not using it against the enemy? Over 30 years ago, I was tempted, and most of you know my story, and so I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but I believed a lie. How many of you know that denial is very likely demonic? There's probably not a drug or alcohol addict anywhere in the world that hasn't first denied they had the problem. I can handle that. I can control that. I can stop anytime I want to. It's what we do. And I believed that I could play mind games, and I believed that I could dabble with fantasy, and that it was not going to hurt anybody. Nobody else would know about it, and it wouldn't hurt anybody. But those fantasies and those mind games became an oppression in my brain that caused me, as I testified earlier, to cry out to God. And it was a weight, and it was a burden that I could feel like a pressing vice on my brain at times. And I pleaded with God to take it away, and he didn't take it away because he had given me what I needed in order to be free from what I was battling. The oppression that I went through, the fantasy, the imagination would eventually manifest itself in a natural way that virtually came so close to destroying my marriage and my family and the ministry that I had, everything. Nearly destroyed everything. Thank God. Listen to this. Thank God. God gave me a wife who would fight for me. And not with me or against me. And Becky chose to fight with me against the spiritual forces that were oppressing me. We entered into real spiritual warfare for a period of weeks. I'm talking about using the Word of God as a spiritual sword, and I'm talking about talking out loud to the devil. When a thought, tormenting thought, comes to my mind, no, devil, that is a lie. I do not receive it. It violates the principles of God. I will only do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. I will only walk righteously with God. I will only do His will in my life and not what you're tempting me to do. On and on. Get behind me, Satan. On and on and on. Day after day. Sometimes hour after hour. Sometimes minute after minute. For weeks on end. And after a couple of weeks, I'm driving down Ford Avenue one day, and we've been battling these demonic spirits for a couple of weeks. And I'm driving down Ford Avenue one day, out here at Chestnut Hill, at that area, and I'm tempted again, and I begin to rebuke the devil. And when I did, I felt the weight lift, and I felt the oppression depart, and I knew I was free. I went back home to tell Becky. When I got home and I told her when it happened, she said, "I already know. I felt it too." She was in Poplar Forest. I was on Ford Avenue. You think this isn't something spiritual? And God broke that when we took up the weapons of warfare that God had given us and we waged spiritual warfare against our enemy, the devil. Somebody said, "Well, that just sounds too foolish to me. Didn't you feel stupid talking out loud to the devil?" Listen, you can hold on to your pride and hold on to your demons if you want to. I may be a fool, but I'm a free fool. I'm telling you, brother and sister, God wants us free. Amen. Yes. Jesus came to set us free. He died to make us free. He gives us His power, His word, His authority, everything we need to be free. If we will just be doers of the Word of God, we can be free. Christ is our deliverer. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to testify today and give You praise for what You did in our lives and in our family, and what You continue to do when we are faithful where Your word is concerned. I thank You, Father, that no weapon fashioned against us can prosper. I thank You, Father, that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. I thank You that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I thank You, Father, that You sent Your Son into this world to die on a cross to set us free. I bless and praise You for that. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. I want you to stand to your feet with me and stay in an attitude of prayer as we bring our service to a close this morning. And I want to ask something of you. Now, Jesus prayed for people and they were set free. But I've instructed you this morning that you and I need to take the word of the Lord and use it as a spiritual sword against our enemy and fight the fight of faith in order to experience the freedom God wants us to have. And I want to encourage you to do that. But I'd also like to pray with you this morning and maybe kickstart something in your life. And so here's what I'd like to ask of you today. Maybe there is something in your life that you have struggled with. And let's be honest, that probably applies to every single one of us. And I'm just saying the possibility, maybe even the probability, is that every single person could respond to this invitation this morning, because we typically struggle with bad habits. We struggle with bad attitudes. We struggle with addictions and various things. We struggle with fear. We struggle with negativity. We all tend to struggle with something somewhere in our lives. I want to encourage you today to fight the fight of faith and find your freedom in Christ. But I want to have an opportunity to pray with you to kickstart that fight this morning, if I might, as we prepare to leave here today. And I want to ask you this morning if I could pray with you. In fact, I'm just going to ask it this way. I'm going to ask you, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and where you're standing this morning, if there's a struggle going on in your life and there's just a habitual thing going on or whatever it might be, if there's a struggle of something in your life, you've been struggling with it and battling it for a while and you haven't been able to get free, would you raise your hand this morning and declare that? Amen. All over. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's about all of us, isn't it? It's about all of us. I'm telling you, brother and sister, today is our day. Today is our day. And I'm so glad you are here today to hear what Christ can do for you. Because Jesus loves all of us in the same way. And what He did for one, He wants to do for the other. He wants to set every man free. Just as He wants every man saved, He wants every man free. He wants every man walking in victory. And I'm so glad you're here this morning to hear the message. And I encourage you to listen to it online. It'll be online on our website soon. Or we can give you a CD if you need it and you want to hear it again. Be reminded and encouraged in these things. But we want you to be set free, and I want to pray for you before we leave here today. Father, I just want to thank You again for the opportunity of sharing a testimony today of the victory and how You brought it to pass in our lives, in our home and in our marriage. And the freedom and the liberty that You brought to us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, setting us free from the powers of darkness working against our lives. God, I thank You because I know that You desire the same freedom, liberty, and victory still for us day by day and for every person in this room today and every day moving forward. So, Father, I pray that you would take this message this morning and embed it in our hearts and bring it back to our understanding. And as we meditate on these things, God, may the spiritual truth that you have taught become real to us and a part of the very fiber and fabric of our being, that we might walk it out and walk out practically and experientially the victory of Calvary's cross in our day. And may we, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us, be set free. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that we can give to one another, the support and help we can be to each other, for the liberty and freedom that's coming our way because of Jesus and the victory of Calvary. And so now, Father, as we leave this place today, may we walk in victory. May we leave here with an attitude of victory, with an expectation and a hope that victory is ours. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today. And I'm not going to fake you out this time. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in. Just one more thing before you go. If I can minister to you personally about anything you're dealing with, all you got to do is give us a call, send us an email, or just hang around after church today, and we'll minister to you personally. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen.